This is the Colonial Department's Extra Credit, a bonus show that provides some nugget-sized tidbits of Philippine colonial history. It's based on the most recent episode, so if you haven't yet, check out Season 5, Episode 5, The Death March Down South. Then hop on back here for some extra credit. The shadow of the Bataan Death March looms large in our collective memory, but as even our foremost World War II historian, Ricardo T. Jose, has acknowledged, there were other camps and other marches in Mindanao and the Visayas. Our last episode was about the little-known Iligan Death March. As the survivors tell it, the forced march itself began in Camp Keithley in Dansalan and ended in St. Michael's Academy in Iligan. But the ultimate destination of the prisoners was a prison camp near Malaybalay, Bukidnon. Aside from housing the POWs who survived the Iligan Death March, this highland province became the site of many of the Philippine theater's most intense clashes. Here are three tidbits about the war in Bukidnon that I had to leave on the cutting room floor. One. By the 1930s, Bukidnon had become the biggest supplier of beef to Manila. It was cowboy country in every sense of the word, packed with ranches and plantations. The rumblings of war must have seemed so far away to the tribesmen and herders who lived there. But according to one datu, reality came crashing down on them on Christmas Day 1941, when Japanese planes suddenly roared overhead. That was the day when World War II arrived in the highlands of Bukidnon. 2. When the Americans waved the white flag, many Filipino and American soldiers took to the hills to become guerrillas. But as the province descended into chaos, many other groups also took up arms. One of these was led by a datu/healer who said that he was in touch with the spirits who lived in the mountainside. He promised both armed protection and spiritual protection for all Bukidnons and attacked both resistance fighters and Japanese troops alike. Even guerrillas did not dare to operate inside their territory. Their uprising was only put down after the war. 3. One of the toughest battles ever fought in Bukidnon happened in May 1945 inside a dense forest that the soldiers dubbed the Machine Gun Woods. Hidden inside camouflaged pillboxes connected by tunnels, the Japanese pinned the American forces down for a week. With suicide attacks on the flanks and fierce hand-to-hand fighting, they inflicted heavy casualties. Eventually, the US pummeled the Imperial troops with tons of bombs and artillery, forcing the Japanese into a final banzai charge that spelled their defeat. Machine Gun Woods was completely burned down, and to this day, says historian Ronald K. Edgerton, never grew back. Now I leave you with an interesting quote from Ronald K. Edgerton's comprehensive history of Bukidnon. Here is his account of the prison camp at Kasisang, where the Japanese soldiers apparently treated the prisoners well. Accounts of the Kasisang POW camp vary in detail, but all agree that it was the exception that proved the rule among Japanese POW camps in World War II. This camp was run very decently, reported Archibald Mixon, and Lieutenant Colonel John Hugh McGee agreed, saying that it was operated according to the rules of land warfare. Commanding the POW camp was a middle-aged lieutenant named Chiguo Mori, a distinguished-looking individual with a long black mustache and a saber scar on his cheek. Mori got along quite well with American officers who liked his jovial nature. When asked after the war to describe atrocities in the camp, American respondents could not recall any incidents against American POWs. The only atrocity they could remember occurred against Filipino POWs. And that's it. Hope you learned something new today. Before we go, I'd like to read out some of our listeners' replies to my survey question from our food episode 2 weeks back. If you recall, my question was, what is your ideal Filipino breakfast? Tapsilog was far and away the clear winner, loved by Jeric84, Aliana Habana, and user 121-696-14972. Meanwhile, Kato Sarmiento and Ruth Henota liked the more fishy breakfast. Kato liked tinapa with egg and sinangag, while Ruth liked the ingsilog with hot chocolate. Kaina said, I love all Filipino breakfasts. As long as there is sinangag and pandesal, I'm golden. Meanwhile, MJ had a very unique reply, coffee and sopas. Thanks for all your mouth-watering answers, guys. Check back next week for a new episode of The Colonial Department.